If you got your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to Revelation. The book of Revelation, go to chapter 3. The book of Revelation, go to chapter 3. Say amen when you get there. How y'all doing? It's good to be back to church. Come on, praise the Lord. Hey, I want to tell you real quick, I know we talk about it, you guys, we've been taking up our offering before service. Thank you. I'll say this on behalf of myself and Pastor Dustin. I know it's Pastor Appreciation Month, but we appreciate you guys way more than you could ever appreciate us, I promise you. Amen. So I appreciate y'all. It's Pastor Dustin, it is congregation appreciation today. How about that? We appreciate y'all this morning. No, we love you. Hey, real quick, though, guys, there is a box over there. It's our tithe box. If you missed your offering, put it in there. We have about 76 women that are down in Syracuse, Indiana right now. Thank you. Obviously, she needed a break from her. No, I'm kidding. 76 women. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing, y'all? Do you know the average church in America is 65 to 75 people? Did you know that the average church size in America is 65 to 75 people? And we have that many women at a women's conference. Praise God. Praise God. That is amazing. And I'll say it again. That's why someone dared me, but they said, hey, I bet you won't say it's really quiet this morning. I know y'all seen that little thing on Facebook and it said that there'll be no women in heaven for the first 30 minutes. That's what I thought. I'm kidding. Email Pastor Dustin with your comments. I promise you he'll get back to you. I love you guys. You know it's so good to be back. My wife had, and can we get up for Steve Schwartz right here? Steve, Pastor Dustin. I mean, these guys, I appreciate y'all. My wife, and I'll tell you this real quick, and I'm not going to take a lot of time on it, but my wife has surprised me. I'll be 50 years old on Tuesday. Yeah. So my birthday's in a couple of days. So my wife decided to take me to New York City. New York City! Hey, I'm a country boy from Alabama, all right? And so anyway, we did. We had a good time in New York City. We got to see all the New York stuff. You know, the Statue of Liberty, the Twin Tower Memorial, you know, 9/11 Memorial, Rockefeller, you know, Plaza. We went to the Grand Central Station. We ate Coney dogs on Coney Island. That was really cool. You know, we did had a good time. Went to, you know, all the stuff. So we had a good time, and I'm really grateful to be back, number one, but I was really grateful to take a break, and you know, these guys done a phenomenal job. So can we give it up for these guys? Thank you. I appreciate you so much. And Father, we pray right now for these women. We pray the women that are down there at this conference, God bless them. Father, we ask right now in your mighty name, God, in Jesus' name, they come back fresh with a new fire, God, a new fresh infilling of your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone agreed and said, amen, 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 amen. If you got your Bibles, Revelation chapter 3, are y'all there? Say amen. Amen. Are you there? Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, he said, write these things. Says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, come on somebody, and shuts and no one opens. Everybody say he who opens and shuts. Everybody say he who opens and shuts. I know your works. This is Jesus talking. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. He said, I know your works. He says, see, I have set before you an open door. And no man. Come on, somebody. He said, I have set before you an open door. And no man can shut it. For you have a little strength. And you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Everybody say he who opens and shuts. He who opens and shuts. Everybody say, he who opens and shuts. See, the thing about transition churches, I want to tell you, the thing about when you are in this spot or this position of transition is that we find ourselves in this awkward position where we want God to open doors and we want God to shut doors. Amen. Say amen. We find ourselves in transition in this spot where we want God to open doors and we want God to shut doors in episodes of our lives. And there's something about being in transition that's very important that comes when it comes to doors being opened and doors being shut. There's something, remember when I said 2 weeks ago? How many of you were here 2 weeks ago? I said, watch this. A closed door is just as much the will of God. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. A closed door is just as much God's will. He just said, I shut doors and what? Closed doors. A closed door is just as much the will of God as an open door. When you're in between one place and you're trying to get to another place, there's this thing called a door. Come on, church. Y'all awake this morning? I had a week off. Y'all, obviously, y'all didn't. When you're in transition, church, listen to me. When you're in one place and you want to get to another place, there's this thing called a door. How you get from one place to another place, you got to go through the door. A room has a way to access it. And we all know that's called what? Whew, y'all paying attention. Praise God. You can't get from where you are, listen to me very carefully. You can't get from where you are to where you want to be unless you go through a door. You cannot get from where you are to where you want to be unless you go through a door. Amen. A door separates one room from another room. Amen. Listen carefully. That means something. This is very significant, church. Pay attention, because it means that your movement doesn't have to be far for you to make a transition. That's very important. Your movement does not have to be far in order for you to make a transition. Sometimes we think that when we have to make a transition in our lives, that it's got to be this big, long journey, that we got to do all this work. But let me tell you, the truth is, God can set a door in your life and God can transition you out of one place and you walk through that door right into another place. Oh, come on, you act like you don't believe it. You act like you don't believe it. God can put a door in your life immediately, and you can take one step and you transition from one room to another. Amen. Are you following me? Thanks for that rousing applause. Listen to me. We think that we have to make all these big movements. It doesn't take a lot of movement to make that happen. Amen. Amen. It doesn't, because if you're standing at the door and you're in one room, you take a step through the door. Amen. And you're in another room. Thank you. Y'all going home now. You just got the sermon. Listen to me. If you're standing right here, and there's a door. God has put a door in your life, church. You don't have to have these big, profound movements. You just take a step through the door. Amen. Come on, somebody. And your whole atmosphere will change. Your whole, the listen to me. Your movement was only one step. Amen. Your movement was only one step. And you're in a whole nother room. Sometimes we think it takes big movement to make transition. Listen to me. You can be in a room of brokenness 1 minute, and you can step from a room of brokenness into a room of wholeness just like that. You can, oh, come on, somebody. You can be in a room of brokenness and move into wholeness. All it takes is a door. You can be in a room of brokenness, and all it takes is a door to step through into a room of wholeness. You can be in a room of sorrow and grief 1 minute, and then God can make a transition, and you can walk through sorrow and grief right into joy, peace, and happiness. Come on, church. Are you following me? That quick. Do you see that? That quick, you don't have to have these big major. All you got to do is walk through the door. Come on, somebody. All it takes is one step. You can access it. Listen to me. And everything in that room changes. Are y'all following me? Like, you can be in one room and you access another room and everything changes. Doesn't it? Doors in the Bible are very important. Open doors give you access to something. Shut doors mean you do not have access. I just blew y'all's mind, didn't I? Huh? An open door means you have access to something. And a closed door. It's not rocket science, church. An open door means you have access to something. And a closed door means that you do not have access to it. Amen? Can I tell you, an open door gives you access. A closed door denies you access. The Lord is your doorkeeper. Church, I said the Lord is your doorkeeper. Amen. He opens doors and he shuts doors. And if I trust him, he's going to let me have access, or he's going to deny me access of things that are going to ruin his plan and purpose for my life. You got to understand, if you trust him, a closed door is just as much the will of God as an open door. Amen. He will either give you access or deny you access to the purpose and the plan that he has for your life. Amen. 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 Y'all follow me? Y'all keeping up with me this morning? Okay, there's positives and there's negatives to a door. If a door is shut, then you don't have access. If it's open, then you have access. There's negatives and there's positives to a door. A shut door means several things. A shut door means several things. Number one, a shut door means protection. Amen. A shut door means protection. When you go home after this service, you don't leave your door wide open. When you go home after this church service, you're not going to leave your door wide open. You just shut the door because you don't want anybody just walking around your house while you're trying to sleep. All the jeepers and the creepers that ain't riding ahead or whatever. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. You go home, you shut your door, and you're trying to take a nap after church. You shut your door for protection. Sometimes God shuts a door to protect you. Amen. Sometimes God will shut a door to protect you. You know, the children of Israel, when they had come out of Egyptian bondage and they were crossing the Red Sea, watch this, in Exodus chapter 14, God said to Moses, he said, I want you to turn around and look. And suddenly Pharaoh and his army had entered into the Red Sea, and God had parted the Red Sea, and it's standing up on both sides. The Red Sea's parted on both sides. The Bible says that the water caved in, and then they vanished. It was symbolic, church, listen to me, of God closing the door on the Egyptian bondage. It was symbolic. And he said to Moses in Exodus 14, 13, look at this. These enemies you see today, he said, you will see again no more forever. That is symbolic. Come on, somebody. And this is what he was saying. In other words, what he was saying is, I opened doors, and when I parted that Red Sea, I opened it, and no man can shut it. And when I shut that door, he said, when I shut the door on your past and on your enemies, no man can open that door again, because I have shut. He said, these enemies you see now, you will never see them again, no more forever. No more forever. When God shuts doors, church, listen to me. He shut the door to their past. No man could open it back up. They were to never go back into bondage again. Amen. He opens and he shuts doors. Nobody can open them. Everybody say, he opens and shuts. Sometimes a shut door means privacy. Sometimes people come over your house unexpectedly. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes people, they'll just show up at your house unexpectedly, and you get all the kids, you get everybody, y'all running around through the house, you picking everything up, you taking all the dirty clothes, everything, take it to the back bedroom, throw it all in there, I don't care what it is, clean the bathroom, get the dirty laundry out, get your stinky socks up, you pick them all up, every piece of laundry, the towels, dirty clothes, you go run to the back bedroom, you throw it in there, and then what do? Don't lie. Don't lie. You shut the door. All the dirty dishes hiding in the oven. Y'all. Look. Everything. You shut the door. Why? Because not everybody needs to access private matters in that house. Amen. Come on, somebody. You go ahead and you stay in that area right there. You look around. You can stay in the living room. We got her polished up. You look around. You have a good time, but you see that shut door. What I'm saying is you don't need to see the mess. I only want you to see the clean part. And God knows how to shut the door and deal with the mess in our life and not let everybody see it. Amen. If you let him, if you don't let him, everybody's going to see it. Come on, somebody. God has a way of dealing with the mess in the private parts of your life. And if you let him in, what you don't confess in private, you'll endure in public. Amen. Amen. He can clean the private parts out of your room if you let him. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Come on. Check this out. God closes doors for protection and for privacy. And he opens doors to give you access to someone or something. Amen. Come on, church. Appreciate that for you. God opens doors. He closes doors for your protection and for your privacy. But he opens doors in your life to give you access to someone or something. Almost all sin can be traced to an open door that you opened to someone or something in your life that moved into your life because you opened the door to it, church. Y'all act like you don't believe what I'm telling you. The sin in your life has come into your life because you have opened the door and you have given access to something or someone in your life because you opened the door. And in life, I want to tell you something very carefully. Listen to me. There are doorkeepers in life. Tara and I met several of them in New York City. It's frustrating. Look at this picture right here. I said it to us. We got a picture. Look at it. You can't really see it because this guy's in the back. Look at how mad he is at me. They're everywhere. Doorkeepers are everywhere, and it's frustrating because doorkeepers can let you in or they can keep you out. Doorkeepers can keep you shut out, right? You call it politics, you call it whatever you want to at work, you call it whatever you want in the office or whatever it is. They can limit you. People can limit you, and they can stop you from having access. Someone who controls access, they say no to you. They can shut you out. And you feel like you don't belong there. Amen? Amen? We got doorkeepers in our life. People may try to block your progress. People may try to stop you from going in. But can I tell you, he opens a door that no man can shut. Amen. I said, he opens a door that no man can shut. Jesus is your doorkeeper. And he opens doors that no man can shut. No man can keep me from having access, even if you don't like me. Because if God called me to be there and God opened the door, I'm going to go there in spite of you and what you think about me. Amen. Because Jesus is my doorkeeper, church. God is in charge of your door. Turn to somebody and say, he opens doors. Amen. He is in charge of your door. Listen to me. Any door the Lord opens, no man can shut. And any door the Lord shuts, no man can open. Amen. Amen. Man is not in charge of my door. The devil's not in charge of my door. Jesus is in charge of my door. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There are some doors that need to open for you. There are some places you're supposed to be. You know that? There are some things in some places that you're supposed to be and supposed to do, and you need access to do these things. Amen. Amen. And you need access to do these things. And I'm here this morning proclaiming over your life that Jesus Christ is your doorkeeper. Amen. And he is going to give you access to the things that he has called you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus himself said this in Revelation 3:8. Look. He said, I have set before you an open door. And no man can shut it. Can we just thank him for that right there? Can we thank him for that, that he has just put an open door in your life that no man can shut? Not only is he our doorkeeper, listen, that means something else too. Watch this. I want to show you something. It doesn't just mean that he opens doors and he shuts doors. But it also means this in Exodus, look at this, in Exodus 12:7, that when they were commanded to take blood and put it on the door of their house, and then when the destroyer come, he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over your door. Church, listen to me. The destroyer, it may be assigned to your home to destroy it. And somebody in here may be fearful of what the destroyer would love to do to your little family. Amen. But I'm here proclaiming over your family and over your life, you don't let fear torment you. You don't let the enemy tell you something happened and it's going to come back and it's going to happen again and again. Jesus is your doorkeeper and he's watching over your house, church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is in charge. And he says, I watch. And if there's blood on that doorpost and when the destroyer wants to come to that house, I'm speaking a word to somebody this morning. Jesus is watching over your door. And he said, I'm watching it. And when the destroyer wants to come to that house, come on, somebody. Maybe he's been a little tormented with fear. Maybe the Lord says, you're scared and you're worried about what's happening. And God wants me to tell you, I will not allow the destroyer to access your family anymore. Hallelujah. Church, he's watching over your door. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Man, I feel this this morning. I feel this this morning. I will not, listen to me. Repeat this after me. Say, he will not. Come on, repeat it. He will not allow the enemy access to my family. Hallelujah. God is watching over your door. God is watching over your door. He said, I'll stand over that door and I will watch over the door of your household. If you let him, if you believe him. Come on, church. If the enemy wants to access, just put the blood on the doorpost and Jesus will be your doorkeeper. He will be standing at your door and when the devil knocks, he'll say, don't worry, I got this one. Amen. It's his house. He's in charge of the door. When the devil knocks, I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. I'll take care of that one. Come on, church. Now, this is really important. Maybe you never thought about it like this. But I want to show you something. Isaiah chapter 6, it gives us a really great insight into doors. Isaiah 6, you know, is when King Uzziah dies and he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple and the glory of God. You know, came in the temple, we know him. And then he makes this strange statement. Look at what he says right here in Isaiah 6:4. And he says, at the sound of his voice, the posts of the door moved. At the sound, of his voice, the door moved. Come on, church. At the sound of his voice, the Bible said that the door moves. The door moves. And since the Lord is in charge of your door, sometimes he'll move the door. I said, since the Lord is in charge of your door, sometimes he'll move the door. And when he speaks, the door moves. And there are some people that God does not want to have access to your life anymore. Amen. He said, I'm going to move the door and he will come in with a word. And at the sound of his voice, the door will move. Cole, come on. You don't believe it. At the sound of his voice, The door will move. It was here. He came in with a word. It was here. And then he gives you a word. And now it's over here. They did have access, but God moved the door. You got to understand what I'm telling you. Every open door to someone matters. Every so often, God has to speak a fresh, revelatory word to you, into your heart and into your soul and into your spirit. And when he does, God speaks the word and the door moves. Come on, somebody. And the next time these people come back, they can't get to you. Because the door moved. You got a word from the Lord and the door moved. Come on, church. And I'm not talking about necessarily like, you know, the physical door and the, but what I'm talking about are those emotional and psychological soul ties that people can have to you. Come on. The psychological and emotional soul ties that people can have to you, all they got to do is just show up and say something. Maybe I'm the only one that's got them kind of people in my life then. Those people that have that, all they got to do is just show up and say something, and then it'll go all the way down inside you. Come on, you know them people. You know them people. It'll go all the way down inside you, and they get on your last nerve. Come on. They touch that emotional thing, and suddenly all of that old stuff, all of that old hurt, all of those old things, all of that old pain, it just starts coming up, and they just know how to do it. Amen. But you get a word from God. They come back, and they can't get to you anymore because God's moved the door. Amen. Come on, church. These people come back to you, and they can't even touch you no more because you done got a word from the Lord, and he moved the door. Praise God. He moved the door. Some of you got online. You opened a door you should have never opened. Come on. Some of you had a conversation at work with somebody that you should have never opened the door to that conversation. You should have never got their phone number. Should have never got their email. You should have never got their digits. Y'all know what I'm talking about, man. And you've tried to shake yourself loose. You've tried to shake yourself loose, and you can't shake yourself loose. But God wants me to tell you this morning, it's time for you to see the door move in your life. The Lord is going to move the door, and they're not going to be able to get to you like they used to. Come on, somebody. Shout, give them some. Do you believe it? You'll get a word from the Lord, and God will move that door, and these people won't get to you anymore. Hallelujah. You know, I've discovered that every time God gives me a significant word in my life, my door moves. Do you hear me? Every time God gives me a significant word in my life, my door moves. Amen? And if some people have access to you, they will cause you to abort what God wants you to give birth to. I said, if some people have access to you, they will make you abort what God wants you to give birth to. They'll rob you of your faith. Have you ever met those people? You ever met those people? They'll rob you of your faith. I mean, you're feeling good. You know God told you to do something. You knew you had faith for it. You was all fired up about it and all this, and here they come. Here they come. They rob your faith. Amen? Amen. They show up. They start talking. And by the time they finished, you think you're crazy. You think you're crazy. You don't even think you heard the Lord right. I didn't hear from God. There ain't no way I can do that. They're right. I call them faith robbers. Come on, they're faith robbers. They will rob you of your faith. They will shift you in your thinking in the wrong direction, especially when you're in transition. Listen to me. These people will put you into, especially when you're in transition, when you're moving from one thing to another thing, Jesus Christ must be your doorkeeper. Not people, not what your drunk uncle at the family reunion said, not what your friend who's been married four times trying to give you marital advice. Come on, somebody. The door. Jesus has to be your doorkeeper. Amen. Come on, church. Listen carefully. The people you surround yourself with in transition is critical. Amen. The people that you surround yourself with in transition, church, is very critical. You need people who call you to your highest place. People around you who modify your behavior. You got any friends that will modify your behavior? I said, you got any friends that will modify your behavior? Or do you get around people who are just as crazy and psycho and just as off as you are? Huh? And all y'all do is stir each other up for trouble and mischief. Oh, come on, somebody. You need people who don't take you down the wrong road. They help modify your behavior and take you to the right place. Come on, church. May the door move to those people this morning. I said, may the door move to those people in your life this morning.